So I always read my Bible. I'm a good Christian. But I've actually started reading through from the beginning again now recently this year. And I was moved by this specific passage in Exodus I wanted to start with today. And it's in verse 33 that I want to go. But the background here is Ruan is really taking his job seriously. The background here is so important because I really do believe it's such a powerful picture. And it's in response to the sin of God's people, and I'm paraphrasing here, God starts the conversation with his people, the Israelites, who have now been told to go into the desert to follow Moses. And God says effectively in verse 32, okay, he's relented from destroying these people who have disobeyed me. They've worshipped other gods instead of me. And he says, he ends up saying to Moses, but I'm not going to go with you, nor with them, in meaning the people, into the promised land. It is a promise. He says that Moses and the people can still have it. You can have the promised land. It's yours for the taking. But ultimately, I, God, will not go with you. And then he calls them stiff-necked people. And I want to pick up, that was in the beginning of Exodus 33, and I want to pick up a little bit later, Exodus 33, 12 to 18. A little while later, Moses has this moment with God in the tent of meeting, this place, this temporary tabernacle, if you'll have it that way, where Moses can enter and then the cloud descends on the tent and the presence, he can be in the presence of the Lord. So let's read the conversation between God and Moses from verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your way, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses says to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." So we see actually God reversing on his original decision after seeing Moses' heart revealed. And we're witnessing here something that Moses did, where he actually stood in the gap before God. And he said, "God, I cannot go forward. We, these people I'm called to lead, cannot go forward without you. We need you. If your presence doesn't go with us, then we can't go into this land. We need you." And we see Moses doesn't want to take a step apart from the fullness or the presence of his father. Moses does not want to take one step. And I wanted to ask us, is the same true with us? That's why we're here. What are you telling us, God? And this week, as I was going over the workload of the congregation, scheduling, planning, dreaming, and then was planning for the preach today, looking at our values and those four goals we had set for the year, And to be honest, I actually had a bit of a wobbly. I normally have things together. I found myself in unfamiliar territory. And even though I had heard God speak so clearly about those four things, I was shaking. I've been under a bit of family pressure, bit of crisis management at home. And in that moment, I felt quite strongly this Moses moment. I didn't want to take another step forward without God's presence either. And I had this overwhelming sense or need to ask God to walk with me, effectively walk with us as a congregation in everything that we do. I find to preach and teach in the name of Jesus is one of the greatest privileges I have in the world. What makes it particularly dangerous, though, is how easy, and this may shock you, how easy it is to preach for Jesus, but without Jesus. And I adjusted that phrase, that's me. To just live life as a disciple of Jesus is also one of the greatest privileges in the world. What makes it particularly dangerous, however, is how easy it is to look and behave, to say the right or correct things, just like Jesus, but still be found without him. We're clever people, yeah? We like to think of ourselves as smart. And we may know an incredible amount of God, about God, in our heads. What matters, however, is slowing down enough to give Jesus direct access to every aspect of our life. That's the challenge. And I myself know this only too well. I've personally experienced to some degree what it is to be like one of those leaders. I've prepared and preached sermons. I'm guilty of preparing and preaching sermons without spending time with Jesus. I know the experience of doing good things that end up helping a lot of people while being too busy in my own whirlwind of leadership worries to be intimately connected with Jesus myself, putting my heart out there. The truth is, it is possible to preach and lead out of your own talents, your gifts, and experience. And we can boldly preach truths that we don't live ourselves. And if people feel served, or if somehow I just look busy, maybe no one will notice and take issue with the gaps between who I am and what we do. So that makes sense. Jesus warns us about the consequences, and I've got a word here. I don't even know if it's a word, but I wrote, Jesus warns us about the consequences of engaging in our Christendom without him. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. My Bible starts this with, I never knew you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And here we're reading about Jesus confronting the self-deception of those who do wonderful things in his name. They prophesy, they drive out demons, they perform miracles. They're very impressive and successful in really helping people. What could be wrong with that? By all appearances, their efforts have the marks of a vibrant, growing ministry. But Jesus looks at that thing and he says, there's one thing terribly wrong. And he says, and it's, I shudder when I hear it. I never knew you. The force of the biblical word used by the verb know refers to the intimate personal knowing of relationship. So in Kubus and Mignon's case, their knowing has got them a bun in the oven. It's an intimate relationship. It is similar to the oneness of Adam and Eve in the garden when they were naked and without shame. The knowing. I want to repeat, we may know a lot about God in our heads, but what matters, however, is slowing down enough to give God direct access to every aspect of our lives, including, if we have it, our marriages, our relationships, our ministry, our jobs, leadership, absolutely everything. This is an intimate knowing relationship with him. We've spoken about Jesus being gentle and God the Father being gentle. We even see Jesus, he doesn't say we can't lead, build, or even be part of a church without him. He doesn't say that. What he does say is that our efforts are worth nothing unless they flow out of a relationship representing a genuine loving union with him. That's what he does say. We read it before. John 15:5, we read it before, our grafting in. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Here's where the problem comes in. Doing our part to cultivate a relationship of knowing God requires time. Time that paradoxically we don't have. And it's because we're either too busy serving him or too busy elsewhere in the world. And so, intentional or not, we find ourselves bypassing this relationship that we're meant to have with God. In the process, we drift into prioritizing self and other things instead of this great love, instead of the intimate knowing relationship he seeks, because we're failing to slow down for this genuine loving relationship we call to be with him, with God. And how does this happen? Most of the time we look up too late. Most of the time it begins very subtly, just with our time and how we steward it. Totally unaware of the consequences of failing to live a life out of this loving him first. I wonder if you've ever considered Jesus this way. Here is a man, sinless, because he has lovingly allowed the Father's will to occupy or ensconce his entire life. This is the guy we are mimicking, that we're called to follow, called to replicate. So surely this is the heart or posture God desires of us, to lovingly allow Him to have full access to our life. I want to read to you some words Jesus said to the Christians in Laodicea and to us, Revelation 3:14-22. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works, you are neither hot or neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and a salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. There's a lot in there. But back to verse 20. You can put verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. In this knowing him relationship, we too have to keep that door wide open. We allow the will of God to have access to every area of our lives, including every aspect and area. Cultivating this kind of relationship with God cannot be hurried or rushed. Surely we must slow down and build into our lives a structure and rhythm that makes this kind of loving surrender as routine as possible. A question for Common Wednesday. It's going to be interesting. In what way or ways does my current pace of life enhance or diminish my ability to allow God's will and presence full scope over and in my life? Big question. Big question. In what way does my current pace of life enhance or diminish my ability to allow God's will and presence full scope over and in my life? Big question. I'll post it. Tracy says I'll post it. It's hot. Jesus faced overwhelming pressures in life. Pressures that will far outstrip anything we have to face. Yet he routinely stepped away from those endless leadership demands to spend significant time with his Father. And there's a key here. This is where the shade comes. And as a result of that time he spent with his Father, every word that Jesus shared with us was rooted in a place or out of a place of deep rest and centeredness out of his relationship with his Father. Just as Jesus lived in relaxed, intimate, loving relationship with the Father, He actually is inviting us into that same relationship with him. John 15:5. You didn't get it. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The Greek verb translated as remain can also be translated into that beautiful word abide, which we've covered previously. We most probably go back to there sometime. But to abide is to continue with, to stick with, to make one's home with. And he promises us that if we do this, fruit will always follow. The fruit doesn't follow us, it follows him. One of the most common responses that I think I get the most often with sitting with people, Ryan, I just don't have that kind of time. And this is where the tension comes. Although I may agree with you, I want to caution you, if that is your response all of the time, then you are most probably moving way too fast. And even if somehow you manage to keep from dropping any of the balls you're juggling in life, the speed at which you're living and leading is actually exacting a toll. You may be unaware of the damage you are doing to your very soul. Everything comes down to a choice. If you've been with me, something we talk about is the responsibility of decision. Something I believe this responsibility of decision to explain is part of the glory that God is also for in us, is in our decisions. When we make hard choices in life in his favor, he gets the glory. Not us. We need to strip down our lives and prioritize him. And one thing I learned, many of you know, when I was in the army, I was an medic. And one of the things they teach you to do incredibly effectively is to triage, to assess, prioritize, and manage crisis. You can imagine, sometimes it gets a bit out of hand. And it involves in stripping down a scene and recognizing effectiveness and necessity, breaking everything down to what is practically possible and what isn't. To ignore the latter and concentrate on the former. Life is complicated. And you might disagree with me, but it's only complicated because we allow it to be. Responsibility or decision. There's always a choice. Not all of them are easy. We need to strip things down to slow down. One of the games we play as a family, and it's normally on a long trip, you must play it, it's a load of fun. You're going to go get outcast to an island, it's forever, so there's no off the island, and you can only take 10 things in your backpack for the rest of your life. What do you take? I always win because I take the infinity glove. And everything opens up from there. But back to the word. To slow down for this knowing relationship, we should be looking and limiting what is in our backpack of life. Start learning how to prioritize. And this part takes great discipline. You see, the more influence God grants us, the more disciplined we must be. And I'm talking about things like our word, our actions, our decisions. And our character starts to cast a wider influence on those around us. I wanted to end with me and my sermons and the morning the Lord spoke to me about what or how I plan for all of this. A considerable weight at times. And I know you guys have your own weights and your own responsibilities. So hear that. It's my experience I want to share. And he did tell me that what I say does matter. So we're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. But he did say to me, however, who I am in him matters more. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I want to finish with being genuine, not for our own sakes, but for his. Sorry if you knew we did a couple of preaches on being genuine for Christ, as opposed to fake Christianity and being okay with telling the truth, being okay with who we are, not hiding behind false veils. Don't know what ministry time we're going to go into, but I did pray on that morning, and I have been praying ever since. Would you pray with me as we close? Yeah, God, we don't want to do anything alone today. I repeat, we don't want to do anything alone. We want to walk with you in your presence all day long. And Jesus, we pray that and give thanks that you made this possible through your death on the cross. We acknowledge the rising from the grave, your going up to heaven, your sending of the Holy Spirit, and that the very fact that your Holy Spirit is among us right now. And we pray that we would keep abiding in your presence all day long. Maybe just say, Lord, help us, help me, if you are this person. Help us all to walk in step with your Spirit, to be led, allow ourselves to be guided and empowered by your Spirit. Is everything we are looking for. God, we don't want to do anything in the flesh. We don't want to do anything on our own, and we definitely don't want to be making decisions on our own anymore. We don't want to speak words that don't honor you, Father. And we don't want to make decisions that no longer honor you. Ultimately, Father, we don't want to do anything that is apart from you. Like that woman at the well, Father, what she received in that living water, we want to live in constant dependence on your presence and in constant communion with you in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.